Hi, it's Kane Hodder, Jason from Friday the 13th. You're watching Slash and Cast. Keep watching, or I'll kill you and your whole family.
What's going on, horror fans? Welcome back to another episode of Slash and Cast. And in other words, part two of Slash and Cast. My name is Riley. Over there is Nick.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? If you're here, you may have seen part one. Part one is on the YouTube channel. It's only covering F-13. It's like over an hour long.
Yeah.
It's stupidly long.
Sorry.
But whatever. That's what happens when you're passionate, you know? But we didn't talk about any of the other topics that we have today because we knew how long that one was going to be.
Yeah.
So we figured why dumb you down with seeing us for longer than an hour?
True.
So we're going to talk about the rest of the topics here on either the website
Podbean
or iTunes, which we're trying to drive these markets even more so. So thanks for being here.
Apple Podcasts.
Shut the... They're at iTunes.
I just remembered just now.
Well, I remember all the time. I just don't want to call it that. It's not right. It's wrong.
It's wrong.
I want to be on iTunes. I don't want to be an Apple Podcast. I want to be a musician.
I want to be on both.
I want to be on both. okay, well, opening up, man. I don't really have any announcements other than the fact that, just one more time, Little Mad premieres this Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Little Mad Podcast. It's going to be a good time. You should be there. I would love to see you.
Yeah.
All right. Halloween. It's been a while since we talked about it. And, you know, it's probably arguably the most anticipated horror film of this year. It's one of the most anticipated films, honest to God. But, you know, before you get too excited, we did learn that the film is heading back out for some reshoots. They're scheduled to shoot some additional scenes, but the agenda is simply to tweak the finale following a recent screen testing, which now they have officially done.
Yeah.
But, of course, they're not going to go into it and the issues that they had. But, you know, first of all, it's good to know they're actually doing our legit test screenings, because a while back it was rumored that they were doing test screenings and that they were bad, but those test screenings were fake. John Carpenter confirmed that. Now they legitimately are, and apparently something went wrong with the ending.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that he straight up said the tweak the finale following a recent test screening.
Yeah, pretty ballsy.
Yeah, really.
I don't, because...
Why would you announce that, you know? Why not just say it's for the whole thing? Yeah, we it's parts for everything, but no, it's straight up. Yeah, these reshoots after the test screening, we had to redo the ending. That's... Well, I guess it's a good thing. They're fixing...
Well, yeah, they're addressing the issues that are being
right.
said. Yeah.
Constructive criticism.
In your head, you jump to the conclusion that, oh, man, the ending must have sucked. They had to go reshoot it. It could have just been as simple as people didn't get it, or it could be better. We thought of a new idea that was suggested from the test screen that would be better.
Right. It could have just been, hey, for, again, casual fans, for not, you know, super fans, they didn't get it. You know, something was a little confusing. Mm. Things didn't line up for them because they had no prior knowledge of previous films. So, you know, maybe that's the case. Maybe it's not all bad.
Yeah, and then, you know, tweaking a finale is much different than changing the finale entirely.
Right.
It could be as simple as adding a few cleaner cut shots, you know, like shots they didn't get enough coverage or something.
Right.
It could be anything. So before you jump to conclusions either way, whether or not this is going to be the best film ever or it's going to be a failure due to that ending,
right?
You know, let's not jump to conclusions.
Right.
Once again, in terms of Halloween 2018, the first thing I always say, hey, you got John Carpenter, you got Jamie Lee Curtis, you got very passionate director and writer David Gordon Green and Danny McBride. It can't be horrible.
Correct.
Also, you know, John Carpenter's score, I heard, is getting some great some love.
Yeah.
All right? So apparently people like that a lot,
yeah.
And that's good to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can only hope for the best. I'd like to see a legitimate review that came from one of those test screenings, but of course, I imagine, you know, all of them signed NDAs.
Yeah.
There's only so much you could do there. Can we go to one?
Please.
That'd be awesome.
Please.
This also kind of means we're getting that much closer to a trailer. And to bring that up even further, we know that Trick or Treat Studios did confirm that they can reveal their mask, because they have the official license for Halloween 2018. They're making the mask for it. They can officially reveal their design on July 23rd. Which means there's no way a trailer doesn't come before then. That's still a ways out. You're still looking at 2 months out, but I mean, at least that's the most you could wait.
Right. You know, if they release the mask before before the trailer comes out, you know, the studio gave them the permission to release like this date at the earliest.
Right.
At the earliest. So if they don't get a trailer out by then, That's their fault.
Yeah, no, there's no way. They'll have a trade offer then. Yeah. I'm thinking, honest to God, it could be end of this month, early June. It could be any time.
Also, these shots tweaking the ending, you know, they probably won't be in the trailer. So we could get a trailer very, very soon.
Yeah, will we get the same one that CinemaCon saw? I doubt it.
Right.
I would love to. I think that'd be great. But based on what we're hearing, like, I didn't see it, so I can't really tell you. But based on what we're hearing, it sounds like a Red Band trailer.
Maybe.
I mean, you can't just drop bloody teeth in the ground without being Red Band, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Depends on how much they showed.
Yeah. I don't know. I would, either way, just something. It could be 30 seconds. I don't care. Just give me something. But hey, if you didn't know, Halloween is directed by David Gordon Green, based on a script he wrote with Danny McBride. It stars Jamie Lee Curtis as she returns as Laurie Strode, as well as Nick Castle, which I didn't mention earlier, but of course Nick Castle.
Yeah.
She keeps tweeting really a lot about the film.
Yeah.
He's dying for trailer just as much as everyone else.
Yeah.
So he's nerding out a little bit. But of course, he's returning as Michael the Shape Myers. They're joined by a pretty tremendous cast, actually, with Will Penn, Andy Matichak, and Judy Greer, as well as John Carpenter on board as executive producer and composer.
Yeah.
It's
it can't be terrible.
You know what? It's going to beat out all the sequels. It's going to beat out everything Halloween 3. Well, don't include 3. Let's just say Halloween 4 and on.
Right. Halloween 3 is separate.
Yeah, that's its own category. It doesn't count.
I love it.
Yeah, that's its own category. It doesn't count. Also, if you're an H2O lover, I don't know how you want to put that, but that's not the point.
Right.
It's going to be good. It's going to be at least somewhat good.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be a complete failure.
Can't wait.
Speaking of things that might be a complete failure, though, let's move on to our next topic of the day, the Predator trailer. Okay, it was officially dropped. Last week, we got a trailer for The Predator, not just Predator, The Predator. Okay, so, we can't show it here, obviously, because, you know, it's audio only. You're just hearing me. But I give you my opinion about it. In my eyes, it does not look like it's going to be all that good. It seems a little bit of a mess. Of course, trailers can be very confusing because it all comes down to who's editing them.
Right.
You can make any piece of shit film look amazing. For example, Suicide Squad, okay? Incredible trailers, garbage movie. Then you have, you know, things like Guardians had good trailers. I'm trying to think of a movie that had a really bad trailer, but it was a good... Okay, Get Out. Get Out had a very cliche black people-like race trailer.
Right. It wasn't bad. It was just eh.
Yeah, just, it didn't catch anybody's eyes, really. And then you got an incredible film. Quiet Place sort of did the same thing until it started getting reviews. Then the trailer was bumped up, too. So, you know, you could get bad trailers and incredible films, or you get incredible trailers and really bad films. So it's hard to say based on a trailer anymore. It's my point. Like, you just can't tell anymore. Predator, though, it was all over the place. I didn't like the main guy throughout his whole monologue throughout that. I didn't like it at all. And then seeing Keegan-Michael Key, it's not right.
That's the thing. You know, Keegan-Michael Key, I understand, you know, the Key and Peele era is over. You're trying to establish yourself as a more serious actor in an action film. But every time you see Keegan-Michael Key, you laugh.
Yeah.
You're like, ah, it's Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, at least, you know, for my perspective, I can't see Keegan-Michael Key as a serious actor. I really can't.
Yeah, the second I saw him, it was like, ooh. Yeah, and then you find out he's a second build member,
right?
Cast member, that's pretty upsetting.
Listen, like we said, he probably does give a great performance, but I don't look at that. I see Keegan-Michael Key. I don't see the character he's playing. I see Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah, it's one of those things that sucks. It's because he's basically got the Daniel Radcliffe performance where you're stuck. Yep. You're Harry Potter. Sorry, buddy. Yep. You're fucked the rest of your career. You're Harry Potter. Like, you can give the best performance you possibly can, correct, but it doesn't matter because you've established yourself so much on a sole character that the rest of your career is pretty affected by that.
Right. It really is a shame. I'm sure Keegan-Michael Key does great, you know, in this role. But,
yeah.
But I just... Personally, I can't see him and not just laugh.
Well, he's even done more serious roles in Key and Peele. Like, if you look at what is the one of the soldier? It's the one we talk about. Ethan, what's the one? You win me in the shoulder. That one.
Oh,
if you've seen it, Retirement. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's right.
So, like, on that one, he's a serious soldier there, but like he. It's still funny, right? You know, the guy's talented, but it's going to be odd to me no matter what we see him in.
Maybe it's different for you. Maybe, you know, you haven't seen Key and Peele, so you don't know Keegan-Michael Key.
Right. Yeah, yeah. If you don't know him, I think it, but even, I don't know. Maybe it's weird the way the human mind works, like, because he has such a look to me that's just like, that guy's in comedy. Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Anyway.
You may hate it, you may love it, but if you haven't heard the synopsis, here she goes. The Predator. From the outer reaches of space to small-town streets of suburbia, The Hunt comes home in Shane Black's explosive reinvention of the Predator series. Now in the universe's most lethal hunters are stronger, smarter, and deadlier than ever before, having genetically upgraded themselves with DNA from other species. With a younger boy accidentally triggers their return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and a disgruntled science teacher can prevent the end of the human race. Basically, there's a bunch of assassins that are brought in to take them out, which is actually pretty similar to the first Predator.
Right.
Outside of the army, of course, but it's very similar to the first Predator. It's just like...
And even then, just reading that and listening to that just doesn't get me.
It's a reboot more than anything else, which of course is what it's meant. It's kind of what it's meant to be. It says right there, explosive reinvention of the Predator series.
Right.
So being that, I get it, but it's pretty much the same synopsis that you would. It's very close to the original Predator, which is good, but it's kind of with a downgrade in terms of cast. And I don't really understand Keegan-Michael Key's role, but if he's a soldier, an assassin, I definitely can't buy into that one.
Right. When watching that trailer, I mean, even Keegan-Michael Key gone.
He looked like a scientist.
Yeah, he really did, yeah. Like, nothing made me say, whoa, it's the Predator. I can't – wow.
Yeah, I love
nothing that. Wowed me in that trailer, and that's what a trailer's for.
You know, Predator's the only 4K 3D movie I own. Like, that should say something about how I actually like Predator. I'm just saying, I'm a little let down, okay? Maybe it'll prove me wrong, as trailers can do.
Right.
We'll see. The cast, it's not bad. You got Jacob Tremblay, Keegan-Michael Key, Sterling Brown, Olivia Munn, Boyd Holbrook, Trevante Rhodes, Thomas Jane, Augusto Aguilera, Edward James Olmos, Alfie Allen, and Yvonne Stravinsky.
Okay.
You know, there's half you know, half you don't.
Right.
So I like that there's potential to create up and coming actors. So that's nice,
right?
You got to look at the positives, you know. But the Predator will return officially on September 14th of 2018.
Coming up,
yeah, you know, coming up pretty quick.
That's not going to be one we see in theaters, unfortunately.
You don't know that. What if we get better trailers?
Then we'll be in school.
Oh yeah, fuck
yeah.
That sucks. Bring down my whole mood in just two words. It was like four words. But all right, let's move on to our next topic of the day. Another one that we're still bouncing all over the place with, the Purge TV series. Producer Jason Blum recently told us that the series will open up an entirely new chapter in America's 12 hours of annual lawlessness. One that will reveal to the fans what happens the other 364 days of the year and how the law affects the people. Speaking of which... When you already get, it's kind of like, we're talking about the Purge, but there won't be a Purge, you know, it's kind of an odd thing. It's basically the Fear of the Walking Dead.
Correct.
Of the Purge.
Correct.
So like, if we could just not call it the Purge, I think I'd feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's one start to making me not hate it.
Yeah.
Let's not call it The Purge, whatever. But the Purge franchise creator James DeMonaco clarifies only a portion of the series is not set on the Purge night.
Right. He says, quote, "I'd say it's 70 or 65% Purge night and then about 30% flashback. We follow four what seem to be separate storylines of people going out on the evening and experiencing the Purge. The real estate of the 10 hours that TV allows us to use flashback... allows us to use flashback, where we use flashback out of the Purge world into the regular lives during the non-Purge days of this future America. We get to see who these people are and when it's not Purge night and the events that led them to where they are on the particular Purge night that we are following. The real estate of TV lets us truly analyze why anyone would resort to violence on Purge night. So it's a slower burn, whereas the movies are kind of a punch in the face. You know, these big events. I think the TV show, with the real estate of it, allows us to truly analyze why anyone would pick up a gun or knife to solve a problem."
So, okay. This is, like I said, this is the right idea. All right, so, like, I don't know if I really believe that it's 70 to 65% Purge night and then 30% flashback. I think it's definitely the other way around. It's just based on where we what we've been hearing this whole time. Like, dude, DeMonico just flipped that shit on its back. Like, it's completely different than what it was before. If that's the case, that's all
right. Right.
It's all right-ish. Following four families, though, it already clarifies that we're okay. Here would be this flow makes sense to me. All right, do two episodes per family, and then do two episodes of all of them together. Is that what we're gonna do?
I don't know. It's very possible we get, you know, it's gonna be more like a drama. So I imagine it'll be, I hate to compare it like this, but it might be like a soap opera where you get the different phases of life in one episode, every episode. I think that's going to be more the route they go.
You know, 10 episodes, you're looking at 2 to 3 episodes per family. Does that mean the separation of families like that and following them on their night and their story, does that mean that there's really not a cast that we're following throughout a whole season? Dude, that's a dangerous thing to play. That's pretty ballsy.
Maybe.
If it's just like, it's basically just, that's four different movies. I mean, that's all it really sounds like to me. It's four different Purge movies, nothing else. So.
Right. And again, he says it's a little more of a slower burn. So it's really developmental. You know, I'm sure there's some deep family problems that, you know, cause a dad to say, you know what, we're doing this, we're participating. Yeah. We're instead of defending, we're attacking.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Like, I get it. It's just like, once their story's told, then what? Are they gone? Do we never see them again?
I don't know. Maybe, like I said, it builds all of them in each episode. We get to see each of them in, I imagine there'd be an hour each. Maybe we see them all in, you know, 15-minute segments, 10-minute segments.
Yeah, to me, it just sounds like a formula that won't work for a long lifespan.
It is a good idea, but
yeah, it's an interesting premise.
But with the, like, four families, that really throws it for a loop.
Yeah, I don't know if like what do you do in season two if you don't keep characters going? Like, do you? I don't know. I just don't know if there's a long lifespan there. But it'll be interesting to see at least for 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So, but filming on the series officially began last week, and we now know that it'll be premiering on USA this coming fall. And the premiere and finale episodes will be simulcast on Sci-Fi.
All right.
So,
we're definitely gonna have to.
I don't know why. What kind of contract is that?
I don't know. We're definitely gonna have to check that out, though. That's something we need to look into, see how they ended up playing that out.
Hey, you know, I'll watch it. I'll see how she goes.
Right. I don't have a chance to watch much TV, so
you're asking for a fucking lot, Persh. 10 episodes? You kidding me? But you know, it could be worse. We'll see how she goes. We'll keep you up to date. We do the thing. Let's move on to the next topic of the day, though. Huh? The Swamp Thing. I never thought I'd be able to talk about Swamp Thing here. So, the upcoming DC Digital Service, which has officially been named the DC Universe, has given a script-to-series order to Swamp Thing, a drama based on the DC characters. The project hails from James Wan's Atomic Monster, the company behind the Conjuring films, and is written by Ash vs. Evil Dead writer Mark Verheiden, and it's the IT co-writer Gary Dauberman. Okay, let's just stop there, because that's a hell of a fucking, that's a set and a half of people.
Wow, you got James Wan on board with his, you know, his company, and then you got Ash vs. Evil Dead and IT writers.
Yeah.
That is a solid
production. You can't production really crew. Go wrong, right?
You would hope so.
DC's biggest struggles always has been its writing.
Yup.
So taking in writers so prominent like that, they can't really fuck it up, right?
Right.
Like, that's like my. They can't really fuck it up. All it's you got all the Lego pieces, just put them together, okay? That's where you got them all. Just follow the right instructions, you know? Yeah, so having the writers on board, like I said, they've always made good looking films and incredible VFX.
Yeah.
Just now, maybe they finally got the last piece of the puzzle.
Right.
But Swamp Thing was centered on CDC researcher Abby Arcane when she returns to her childhood home of Wilma, Louisiana, in order to investigate a deadly swamp-borne virus. She develops a surprisingly bond with scientist Alec Holland, only to have him tragically taken from her. But as powerful forces descend on Homa, intent on exploiting the swamp's mysterious properties for their own purposes, Abby will discover that the swamp holds mystical secrets, both horrifying and wondrous, and the potential love of her life may not be dead after all.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh, Swamp Thing. I tell you.
I know.
It's classic.
Yeah.
It's classic swamp stories.
For sure.
So it'd be good to see it. Maybe this generation hasn't seen anything like it. So nope. This would be interesting. Also, it's going to be interesting in general to see where this DC Universe shit goes, how right. successful it'll be, and will Marvel try to compete? Marvel, like, fucking owns Netflix.
That is true.
You but know, then you have Arrow, so.
Right.
Just saying.
I don't know if they'll announce their own stream. Well, Disney is announcing their own streaming service, so I don't know if Marvel's included in that.
What's on the Disney
It is. I've been told it is.
Oh.
Wow.
We have somebody.
And Star Wars.
Oh, we have somebody in the field.
All Disney properties. Wow. That's a... Wow.
Man, dude. I wonder, like, if this is going to be... The streaming... We're heading down a path that's going to ruin television.
Just
saying.
For sure. Television is already on its last leg.
Well, yeah. I mean, but like, before, we had Hulu, we had Netflix, and other than that, there were small streaming services mixed in between. You take two... Disney's a fucking monopoly. I don't care how you see it. They're a goddamn monopoly. And now they're making their own streaming service?
And I heard they are planning on cutting ties with Netflix, I guess, for all Marvel.
Watch them buy Netflix. If they buy Netflix, I'm going to be actually upset. Like, Jesus Christ.
Man, that would be insane.
They could, though. They obviously already have a good relationship with them, having a bunch of original shows come to Netflix. So, it's like, hey, you know what? Instead of paying you to make our shows, how about we buy the whole damn company? They have what streaming service? Well, yeah, they're going to remove their own shows and do originals. I get that. But take away any competition and buy Netflix.
Right. I mean,
that's what they do.
They already own a lot of Hulu. Yeah. And they also. Well, because now Amazon Video, they raised the price of Prime to basically add in the price of using Amazon Video. Before, Amazon Video was thrown in with your 2-day shipping Prime. Now they bumped the price up another 20 or 30 bucks because of Amazon Instant Video, because people are getting Prime for Amazon Instant Video.
I don't know, man. TV's gone.
Right.
It's over.
And I wonder if this DC Universe would excel more than the Disney one. Yes, you got the movies on the Disney streaming service, but you got movies, you got the TV, you got Marvel, you got Star Wars, you got Disney. As far as DC, you just have these core shows.
Right.
For comic book fans.
I mean, I'm in. I'd like to see it for Marvel, too, though, because I like DC just scares me now.
Right. As this progresses, this would be a nice topic to talk about on Little Mad.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
That Saturday.
This Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/LittleMadPodcast. All right. So something is targeting a 2009 premiere on DC Universe Service, which is set for a launch later this year with the live-action Titans, and which is interesting already in its own sense, but that's not what the show's about.
Yeah.
And animated Young Justice Outsiders has its first two original series.
And Harley Quinn is on the way. Harley Quinn series is on the way, too.
Yeah, you know, as a DC comic fan, you could be excited for this.
It really has a lot of potential. I'm really excited. This isn't really horror related, but for the Titans.
Yeah.
And
I've always loved Titans. I don't like the new Titans, but like, I'm interested to see what a live action Titans would be like.
It'll be the original like Teen Titans cast, because of course, you know, the Teen Titans in the comics was a lot of people. But the original show Teen Titans cast without Cyborg.
Oh no.
I know.
Did it save the VFX? The VFX money?
Probably. Well, of course.
They were probably just like, you know what, he looked really shitty in Justice League. We probably shouldn't ruin him twice, right?
Probably.
That was probably the issue. Probably. All right, with that, let's move on to our next topic of the day. This could be an upsetting one for horror television watchers out there. Already talking about the failure of television, this really just amps it up a little bit. Fox is canceling a shit ton of shows. Shockingly. So The Exorcist and Lucifer have both officially been canceled. The Exorcist ran two seasons, with Lucifer running three. Variety reports that Exorcist averaged 1.32 million viewers, and EW reports that Lucifer averaged 4.1 million viewers per episode.
So not just horror, but Fox canceled, I think, 5 TV shows to pay Tim Allen for Last Man Standing.
Yeah, so Fox acquired Last Man Standing. And now they're like, fuck it, we'll take it. But they also need to get enough money to pay Tim Allen, because Tim Allen, the reason that show was canceled in the first place, because Tim Allen asked for too much money.
Right, that's really what it was. And yeah. NBC, I believe it was NBC, ABC, I don't remember what it was. They straight up said, we can't pay you that much.
And he's like, well, also, see ya. It was a show directly referencing Trump and promoting that. So whatever you think of that, that's whatever.
Right, but the main reason these shows, you know, got canceled was to was pay Tim Allen. And a lot of shows got canceled. Brooklyn Nine-Nine was one of them.
Yeah.
But it did get picked up on Netflix then. Or Netflix. On NBC.
Yeah,
on NBC.
Yeah.
So that's good. But, you know, so who knows where Exorcist and Lucifer, you know, end up. As I've seen a lot of response about Lucifer. Haven't seen too much about The Exorcist.
You know, who really cares? I'm honest to God, that may not be a huge number, but 1.32 million viewers is way more than I thought it'd be. Like, that show kind of...
True.
Show kind of sucked.
True. You know, there's a chance that gets picked up on a Hulu or Amazon. I don't see Netflix doing that. I see Netflix maybe picking up Lucifer.
Could
Netflix.
Be.
I mean Netflix this time.
Yeah, legitimately. Yeah, it's pretty shocking. To see so many shows canceled in the blink of an eye, and then all because of Tim Allen.
God damn it,
that
Tim Allen.
That bastard. How much money did he ask for the cancellation of five shows to pay him?
I don't know. They were also adding like two new shows, so that they canceled five and they gave three new shows, I think. I don't know what else is filling.
All right, filling. So Tim Allen takes the budget of two shows.
Yep.
So that's a lot. that's a good chunk
whatever.
Of money.
Definitely the end of TV and the start of the streaming services is definitely something we're going to talk about on Lil Mad.
Oh, yeah. It's on the way. You know, the same discussion comes from, you know, will movie theaters stay alive? Or will you just watch movies from home?
I think movie theaters are around.
Movie theaters need to stay alive. And everybody that owns a drive-in out there, don't let it die. Keep pushing it. You know, they still, we have our local drive-in, and it's always packed.
It really is always packed.
Yeah, so, I mean, fuck.
Support your drive-ins.
Just, when you get a drive-in in the area, you're missing out if you don't go to it. It's an awesome experience. It's different.
For sure.
Yeah, especially if you're a fan of retro stuff. So,
yeah,
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I'm all about it. Go do that thing. All right. That is a wrap-up part two of Slashcast today, which is Slashcast as a whole. It's over. Little Mad does premiere this Saturday. Please check it out. We've put so much time, money, life, Godspeed, Spider-Man. So you should really go check it out. 8 p.m. Eastern, May 19th, twitch.tv/Little Mad. Little Mad Podcast. We're also going to get people involved in that show as well. And, you know, we'll talk about anything and everything. We might expand further on even some of these topics today.
Yeah.
This Wednesday as well on the website, we are doing a commentary for Friday the 13th, Part 3. That will start our weekly trend of weekly website. What did you say earlier? Weekly.
Oh, fuck.
You already forgot.
Huh? I already forgot. I deleted it.
Weekly website.
Weekly website Wednesday.
Weekly website Wednesday. Isn't that kind of changed the weekly and Wednesday a little bit too much?
You know, yeah, that's why I changed it to weekly website content on Wednesday. That's the new name.
Just weekly content.
Or if you prefer, weekly website entertainment, WWE.
those will be weekly.
Yes.
And on Wednesdays and on the website. So if you're interested in that.
Dollar.
Yeah, between $1 and $2. Depends on what it is. This is probably $1. Yeah,
that's just extra. You know, if you like us,
yeah,
it's just something extra.
I don't know we don't have much time in our lives to do anything beyond what we already do. So to squeeze in another, hour and a half, 2 hours for a movie commentary, it's just like to have, you know, that's just some extra little stuff for
right,
you guys.
Right, and you can watch that along, you know, with us.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
We even have a new slate button to mark. We're not going to use that slate button. But yeah. Oh, I keep having acid reflux. I'm sorry. All right. That's a wrap up Slashcast today. This is another situation, just like we did last week. I don't know what to say. Like, you can't drop a like. If you're on Podbean, drop a heart. If you're on Apple Podcasts or the better version, iTunes, feel free to leave any rating you please. 5-star would be great, though. Appreciate it. If you're on the website, leave a comment.
Sure.
Well, what's the comment for this one? It's got to be a different hashtag, right?
Right. Hashtag buy TV.
Buy TV? No, no.
Buy TV.
Oh, buy TV. Not
BYE.
BYE TV.
Buy TV.
That's a better way to say it anyway.
You had a good run. Bye.
Yeah. Buy TV. You should, yeah.
It's
that'll
sad.
Do.
It's saying.
All right, man. As always, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Slashcast. And we will see you next time. Editor, roll the outro? I guess. Bye.